if you are wondering maybe during the time that this was being announced, why are they bringing a guy to speak to the women, I think maybe you understood a little bit of that, my history, because I never would have planned, you know, back when I got married and we started having children, we started having girls, one after another. You know, we have four girls. We had four girls in the span of 7 years. So it was kind of like after the third one, it's like, you know, let's just go ahead and have a match set here. And I still didn't get it at that point. After we had four girls, I had no clue that God would use me to deal with these kinds of issues. But really, the truth is God used my daughters to give me a download on how he feels about his daughters. And I believe it's a very important message for the church. And today I just pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to you. I appreciate the theme here about discovering you. This is not really about you, but at the same time, you can't be fully released to be who God called you to be if you don't understand who you are. And if you don't understand how much your Father loves you, celebrates you, and wants to unlock your potential. Amen? So we're going to begin this morning. You can go ahead and put that first slide up, because we're going to talk in the first session about discovering your confidence. You can see that girl. How many of y'all can do that? We're not going to make you do that on the stage this morning. We're not going to. I'm sure Nate could come up here and give us a demonstration of that, but right. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 27, I'm going to be looking in this first session at a group of daughters in the Bible that are very important. I don't know if you've ever read the story of the daughters of Zelophehad. Can everybody say Zelophehad? Some of you might be going, well, I never heard of them or never read about them. But they really are very important, because these daughters are in the scriptures five different places. And their names are mentioned five different places. Do you think maybe that could be important for something to be put in the Bible five times and their names listed five times? But we're going to look at the very first place that they are mentioned in Numbers chapter 27, beginning with verse 1. And bear with me, there's some kind of long names in this first verse. But then the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, it gives their genealogy, because that becomes very important later in the story. The son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh. Of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, came near, and these are the names of his daughters: Mahlah, Noah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Tirzah. So I've always wondered if these girls were from East Tennessee. Especially Hoglah. But isn't it cool that Scripture puts their names? I think that's very important, because these are not just faceless women. These are women who have identity, and they are women that mean a lot to God. Amen? And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the leaders and all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, yet he was not among the company of those who gathered themselves against the Lord in the company of Korah, but he died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be withdrawn from among his family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." So Moses brought their case before the Lord. Now let's stop right there for a second and look back at this. This is a very unusual story, and when you think about the culture of the time that this was written, What these women did was very brave, very unorthodox, very unusual. Because in this culture, women were basically considered property either of their fathers or their husbands. Women did not have any kind of civil rights. Women couldn't vote. Women didn't really work. Women basically did all the chores at home. They also went and fetched water and went and cut down wood and brought wood back to the camp, and they took care of all the animals, and they did a lot of back-breaking work, but they really had no rights, and they really didn't have a platform of any kind. That was the social backdrop of this. And yet, there's something very unusual about these girls, because why would they do something so brave? Why would they do something so daring that was against the cultural norm of their society? How many of you know we need some women in this hour who are willing to step out of the box and break out of tradition? Do you think there's any tradition going on in your culture right now that a woman needs to stand up and raise her hand and question or oppose or confront? Hello? Is there any tradition in Augusta, Georgia that needs to be confronted? Are there any brave women in Augusta, Georgia who are willing to do that? See, I'm using this story to inspire you, okay? This is why this is there. So these girls, they've grown up in this culture, and this story took place during the time that the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. Okay, so their father, Zelophehad, came out of Egypt. I don't know if these girls were little kids when that happened. Maybe they walked through the Red Sea, they could have been born in the wilderness because they wandered for 40 years. We don't really know their age, but it was during the time that they were wandering, and, you know, they're doing their chores just like everybody else, and they're fetching water, and they're taking care of goats, and they're cooking the food, and they're doing all of that, and they're listening to the men of that time talk about how they can't wait till we get into the promised land because we're going to get land. And when God brings us into the promised land, the leaders are going to divide up the promised land, and we're going to have land for our tribe, and we're going to have inheritance rights. We're going to have our own plot of land. We're going to be able to mine for gold. We're going to be able to grow crops. We're going to be able to have our sheep, and we're going to make money, and we're going to be blessed. And they're listening to all this, and yet there was a rule in that culture that said women do not have land rights, and women don't get inheritance, and if their father only has girls, then the family, not only do those girls not get inheritance, but the family basically doesn't have any legacy left, and it dies out. That was the rule. Now, the rule doesn't really sound fair to us, but that was the cultural norm of the time, right? And so these girls are listening to all these people talk about this stuff, and they're talking. They must have been talking among themselves, and they're going, this really isn't right. And so I don't know exactly how the conversation went among the girls, but I think probably they must have elected somebody to be the spokesperson for the five of them. And it says that they went to Moses and they brought their case before Moses. Who do you think maybe they elected to be the spokesperson? I figure it might have been Hogla. I don't know. Who knows? Probably the eldest. We don't know. But it says they brought their case before the Lord. And so there was a boldness, there was a confidence to be able to actually stake a claim for something that they didn't really have permission to have. And they were willing to ask a very bold, dangerous question. They were raising their hands and they were saying, why not? Why is this? Why is it that women don't get any? And this was a question that had never been asked before in that culture. So my question for you today, ladies, is are you willing to raise your hand and ask for something that's never been asked before? Are you willing to raise a subject that has not been raised before, and knowing that you might be viewed, in a negative way by asking that question? Are you willing to do that? I have this feeling just from being here for 12 hours. And, of course, I'm from Georgia. I grew up in Georgia. I grew up in the Atlanta area. And I also grew up in a very traditional religious culture. Okay? I'm not going to get into denomination while I'm here, but I grew up in a denomination that was founded in this city in 1845. And I grew up in a denomination that said that women basically need to stay in the background. We love women, we value women, but they have a limited role and they're supposed to be back here. It's totally fine for women to be helping us with the prayer ministry. It's totally fine for women to be helping us with the children's ministry. But it's not okay for women to be up front or to preach or teach or do those kinds of things. That's men's roles. That's what I grew up hearing, okay? And how many of you know that that kind of stuff can linger like a residue over us, and it can end up putting us under a lid? And what I want the Holy Spirit to do today, not that you guys are under that denominational lid because you aren't in that group, but I still believe that there's a lid that Jesus wants to break off. And that some of you have been under some restraints. We're not talking about feminism, because feminism is a worldly movement that is based on women revolting and women being angry and women, crusading against men, and it becomes a very angry, bitter type of movement, right? That's not what this is. When these girls went to Moses, they were not holding up signs and they weren't protesting and they weren't burning bras. Does anybody remember the 60s? Burning bras in the streets. This is not what this is about. I'm old enough to remember that. They were not angry. They did not have a wrong spirit. Do you know that you can raise your hand and ask a question and have a right spirit? Amen? And so something in these girls said to them, it's okay for us to ask. And they made an appointment with Moses, and they went to him and they asked. And it says they brought their case before the Lord. And look at verse 6. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and I love the fact that Moses kept the appointment. He listened to what these girls said. He was entreatable, right? Because sometimes leadership isn't entreatable. And he brought their case before the Lord. So he took what they were asking. He didn't just think about it himself. He didn't just consult his own rules. Because what a lot of leaders do is they get a question like this and they just refer to what we call their denominational handbook. And they say, well, our rule is that on page 641, it says, women don't get any. Right? And a lot of denominations have rules like that. They're not necessarily rules that are from Scripture, but they are rules from their tradition. But Moses didn't do that. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying in verse 7, the daughters of Zelophehad are right in their statements. You shall surely give them a hereditary possession among their father's brothers, and you shall transfer the inheritance of their father to them. Can anybody say hallelujah? Do you realize how revolutionary that is? And that's in the first, this is in the first five books of the Bible. This is in the Torah. This is God speaking from heaven. And what God is basically doing here is God is contradicting culture. Are you glad that God does that? God was not saying, okay, well, we got to work with this and let's take a generation to phase this out, or let's make sure that we all hallow the traditions of the elders. No, that's not what God says. He says, these girls are getting it right. These girls have heard right. This rule that you guys had was not from me. Because God says, I want my girls to have an inheritance. And let's make this very personal for you, because you're in this story. Okay? Turn to somebody and say, you're in the story. Because you have an inheritance. Just because you are female, you were born female, does not mean that you were born with a disadvantage. Hello? I go to cultures, particularly in Africa, where sometimes when girls are born, it is considered a curse. I have a friend who's a pastor in the city of Abuja, Nigeria, and when she was born, her father called all the villagers to the city. He was like an elder in the city. He called everyone together, and he declared a public day of mourning because he had had a daughter. Now, today, this woman, you would never know that about her because she's a powerful lady. She and her husband have a 5,000-member church in Abuja. They've got a wonderful ministry. She's starting a ministry for disadvantaged kids, and she's got a great calling on her life. But when she was growing up, she thought that because of her gender, she was down here. And it was through coming to know Christ and through coming to know the healing of the Holy Spirit that all that stuff began to fall off of her, and she began to discover what her inheritance was. And at some point, she went before the Father, just like these girls went before Moses, and she said, Lord, what do you have for me? Because I think you've got an inheritance for me. And she began to claim that, and now she's making a huge impact in Nigeria. I go to places in the world where, because of gender, women are put down here. And I know we live in sophisticated America where we have women's rights and we have equal pay for equal work and we have all these sort of things. And yet, many, many times, women are still struggling under this lid. And in the church, it's often the case because we have allowed tradition to put women down. And I want to just announce over you this morning, let's just start out this conference right off the bat. I just want to announce over you this morning that you are free and that the lid is coming off of you. Amen? Some of you are still looking at me like, is this okay for us to be talking about this? I want you to know, in Augusta, Georgia, it's okay for us to talk about this today. Whatever has gone on in the past is in the past. But I want to say, just like what happened here, it is a new day. And when these girls stepped in there and had that appointment, and when Moses asked God, and when God spoke, and he said, what these girls are saying is right, it was a new day for them. And as a result, you can read, we don't have time to go into it this morning, but if you go through the scripture, if you do the study of these girls, you find that they continued to wander through the wilderness with everybody else, but they were faithful. You know, the Bible says that there was a generation that passed away, but there were those like Caleb and Joshua who were faithful to believe God, and these girls were a part of that company. And when they got into the land, and you go into the book of Joshua, you find out that these girls went in with that new generation, and then Joshua talk to them again. Their names are mentioned again. And they had to remind Joshua about the promise that they had received from Moses, which tells you that, you know, God can give you a promise, but you have to hold on to it even through the wilderness. Hello? And some of you ladies have been holding on to a promise for a long time, and you feel like you've been going in circles with it, but you got to hold on to that promise And when they got into the promised land, they went back to Joshua and they said, this is what Moses told us. And the Bible says that that Joshua allotted a portion land for them, and they got what was promised here. It wasn't just a pipe dream. It was real, and they got land. And if you look in your, I don't know if you've ever heard anybody preach from the maps in the back of your Bible, but if you look at the map of the 12 tribes of Israel, you will find there's actually a town in the territory of Manasseh called Tirzah, which is one of the girls. She founded a town. And ladies, I want you to know, you've got a place on the map. You've got an inheritance. Every one of you has something that God's put in you to accomplish. I don't know what that is. Some of you have been holding on to promises for a long time. Or some of you maybe didn't think that it was even possible for you to have those things. So it's kind of like you're just wondering maybe one day, or maybe you see Pastor Susie, you see her doing what she does, and you think, well, maybe one day, or some of you just say, well, that's just her. She has that gift, or she's got that thing. And you haven't allowed yourself to fully comprehend the fact that you've got an inheritance. Paul the Apostle used to pray for his disciples all the time. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you might know your inheritance. Amen? And this morning I'm asking the Holy Spirit to quicken that in your hearts, that you might know what you have, and that you might know that there's something bigger. There's something, it's beyond your wildest dreams, actually, what God wants to do through you. Do you believe that? Some of you are wondering. And so what makes the difference in a person who knows their inheritance and somebody who never gets it? I believe, go back to that slide about confidence. I believe that that word, confidence, is really important for every one of you. We're going to hone in on this for just a few moments. Because I've wondered, what was it about these girls, the five daughters of Zelophehad, what was it about them that gave them the extra unction or boldness to be able to go before Moses and ask? Because there were other people that were in the same boat with them. There were other women who have never asked this question, and they would have never thought it was even appropriate to make an appointment and ask Moses about that. So what was it about them? I think these girls were exceptionally confident. Because there's something about a confident woman that she's just got the gumption to ask what's never been asked for. And I also think it could have had to do with the parents. I think that probably Mr. and Mrs. Zelophehad had something to do with building confidence in their kids, in these girls, to where they didn't think quite like everybody else. I kind of imagine Mr. Zelophehad probably told his girls when they were little that, you know, they could do it. They could be anything they wanted to be. It kind of makes me think about my oldest daughter, Margaret, who I'm going to go see on Monday when I leave here. You know, when I started having my kids, I do believe it's very important for us as parents to just pour the love and the affection on our kids and spend time with them. And also, when my girls were growing up, I had all girls, but I remember just telling them when they were growing up, you can be whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. I didn't ever put limitations on them. And my daughter, Margaret, was always precocious, and she was always a little bit like she would test the limits and she would try to break out of the lids. Yeah. And usually that's okay. That's good. You have to steer that with your kids. But she was always the one that I knew would be willing to raise her hand and ask those questions. And when she got to be in high school, she was always involved in student government. She just was a born leader. She liked to lead. She liked to run things. Even when she was a little girl she would, you know, organize little plays and skits, and they would always play with her sisters, and she was the star of the skit always, and she also was in charge of casting everybody else and telling her daughter, her sister Gloria, you have to be this, and Meredith, you have to be that, and she was always the main, you know, part. Anybody have sisters like that? And some sisters are in the rooms and they're not going to admit it. But when she got to be in, when it was time for college, Margaret went to college at a Christian school up in North Georgia, not very far from here, Emmanuel College. And when we were preparing to take her to school, we loaded up the car. It was going to be an 8-hour drive from Orlando. I'll never forget. We packed everything, all the boxes, comforters, bedspreads, everything was in the car. And then right before we left, she ran in the house and she brought this big stack of posters that she had printed at a print shop, and she stuck them in the back seat. And I just happened to notice what it was, and it said, Margaret Grady for student government at Emmanuel College. And I was like, how did you know when the election was? We haven't even gotten there. And she said, well, I called the school and I found out when their elections are, and I just decided I'd go ahead and put my name in for this. I went, okay, well, for me it was typical of her, so I didn't really think that much about it. Then when we got to the school and we pulled up to the dorm and we're unloading all her stuff, and they had these young men from the school that were assigned to help move people. And so this young guy, he's like a sophomore, he comes out and he's helping us take boxes up to her room. And I came back to the car at one point and I saw this guy, and he was just very intently looking at these posters, staring at them kind of like in disbelief. And so I said to the guy, hey, what's going on? What's the problem? He goes, he looks up at me, he goes, what kind of a girl would go ahead and make her posters for the election when she's not even here yet? She just brought this in the car. And I looked at the posters, I looked at him, I thought about it for a minute, and the answer just came naturally. I said, a confident girl. That's who would do that. And sure enough, she was elected. She stayed in student government the whole time she was in college. And then when she graduated, she got a job at the college as the associate campus chaplain, and she served as chaplain there for 4 years. And I remember at one point talking to her on the phone and talking to her about her job and what she wanted to do, and she said, you know, Dad, one day I'd kind of like to run this place. And I thought, okay, that's Margaret, and that's her gifting, but there was that confidence in her, not to take over, but I think that that confidence came out of an assurance of who she was. And I also think, not that I'm the perfect dad by any means, but I think that when parents love their kids and instill the love of the Father in them, that confidence comes out, and then there's that willingness to break out of whatever lid or box or limitations are there, and be willing to step into a place of boldness and leadership and stepping out to do what you were called to do. Amen? And the flip side also is true, that if you grew up in a home where you didn't have regular affirmation, where you didn't have affection, where you didn't have a father or a mother telling you, we love you, we're with you, we believe in you. When you don't have that, it can cause you to crawl into a hole and start questioning your identity and wonder if there is any kind of inheritance for you. And I minister to a lot of both men and women around the world who are struggling in their identity because of the way things worked in their own families, because of their fathers maybe not being there for them. And how many of you know we are living in a fatherless culture today? And a lot of both men and women are struggling in their relationship with God because they didn't have a dad who was even there. Maybe they would come home to a house and dad was never around, or maybe he only visited, once or a few times a year. Or they had a dad who was there, but he really wasn't there. He didn't really connect on an emotional level. I minister to a lot of guys today who would admit to me, if I asked them, did your dad ever say, I love you? Or did your dad ever hug you? And I have guys admitting to me they never had that, ever. And I can't imagine what that's like. I grew up in a Christian home. I have a wonderful dad. Certainly not a perfect dad by any means, but you're blessed if you actually grew up in a home with a mom and dad. And if you had although sometimes women have dads who put restrictions on them or criticize them a lot and didn't encourage them to discover who they were. And so if you had a dad like that, sometimes what happens is we transfer the way we view our Heavenly Father, we see Him through the lens of our own fathers. And then that can set up a crisis in your life because you think maybe God is that way. You think maybe God is distant or God is absent or God is critical. Or heaven forbid, if you had a father who was abusive. And I go to a lot of cultures today where women, in fact, one country that I go to, Peru, there are certain parts of Peru where 40% of the women in those regions were sexually abused by their own fathers. Can you imagine if that was your experience, how you would struggle in the way you see your Heavenly Father? Because your Heavenly Father would never do that. Your Heavenly Father would never abuse you or hurt you. But if that's been your experience in life, then it's very possible that that could hinder the way you view God. Amen? So this morning, what I really am asking the Holy Spirit to do as we just start off this first session is I'm asking that the healing of the Holy Spirit would come. And if there's any place in your life this morning where your confidence has been wounded or you lack that confidence because you didn't have maybe that certain type of upbringing that we're talking about, you know, the truth is no matter what kind of life you had, no matter what kind of parenting you had, no matter what your father's issues were, I have learned that your Heavenly Father can come in and heal all of that, and He can fill in every gap in your life, and He can make it to where it didn't really matter. Hello? And that means that you might think, well, I'm just, impaired because of my own life experience. And the truth is, no. If you have access to your Heavenly Father, He can come in and He can so baptize you with His love and open your eyes to see how much your Heavenly Father loves you, that He can heal those places in your life and He can give you a supernatural confidence that you've never known, and He can unlock that and He can release you and He can free you from whatever caused you to back up. And there's some of you in this room today that you've kind of lived your life in a shell, and for some of you it was protective. A lot of women crawl into shells, not because they want to live there, but because life was hard and because things were difficult and people were painful, situations were painful. And so it's just more, in order to protect yourself, you pull in, you back up, you kind of live in the shadows and you live in that shell and it's safe in there, but you're never going to really accomplish what God's called you to do from that place. Hello? And so He wants to break us out of that and give us a boldness and a confidence to step into a new place with Him. Because every one of you have something that God wants to manifest, He wants to do through your life that's going to touch others for Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Some of you may be already doing that, but I know that I'm speaking to women this morning. This is like very fertile ground. There is very fertile ground here because there's dreams and hopes and vision and promises that God has put in every one of you. But some of you are just kind of holding that or wondering or questioning whether it's really from Him. And what I'm asking Jesus to do today is to just do something so explosive that He would break you out of that shell and release you so that you can go and do what God has called you to do. How many of you want that? God has spoken some big promises to some of you. Ministries that He wants to release. There's people in here that are called to touch the broken and the hurting, to touch the addicted. There's people in here who've actually dreamed about doing things like that. There's some women in here who are dreaming about starting businesses that will make money for the kingdom of God and for kingdom projects. There's some of you, there's somebody in here who really wants to use education as a means of touching a new generation for Christ. There's all kinds of dreams in here, but the Lord wants you to not just be stuck in a shell holding that, but He wants you to come before the Lord today, just like the daughters of Zelophehad had. And He wants you to come before Him with that and state your case. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen? Boldness is not, we always think about it as boldness before men, and we're going to get into that later today about breaking out to be bold enough to speak. But the beginning of confidence and boldness is confidence before God. And it's coming before Him and saying, Lord, I think You've got big plans for me. I think You want to do some cool things with me, but I want to break out of my box. I want to break out of my shell. I want confidence in my life. And I want to step into a new place of confidence. I want to discover it, and I want to walk in it. Amen? Can I just ask right now if we could just bow our heads? And I want to just challenge. There's some women in here today, and you're like the daughters of Zelophehad. You know there's something more that God wants you to do. You know there's something that you want God to give you. There's an inheritance. There's land rights in the spiritual realm that He wants to release to you, but you feel like you're not walking in that place yet, and you really want to come before God this morning with that same kind of bravery and courage that these women had, and you want to just come before His throne this morning, and you want to stake your claim, not in a prideful way, but just saying because you know your Heavenly Father loves you, and He wants to use you, and He wants to give you that inheritance, and you want to stake your claim this morning. You want to raise your hand. You want to ask the question. You want to step forward and say, God, I believe You have more for me. If that's you, I want you to just have the confidence this morning to stand up. And when you do, I want you to stand up straight. I want you to stand like a confident woman. Some of you might have had mothers or fathers that when you were a little girl, they would come behind you and say, stand up straight. And you might even think of that in a negative way, but this morning I believe that your Heavenly Father is saying that to you. Daughter, stand up straight. Stand up straight. I want you to walk in confidence. I want you to know that you are mine. I want you to know that you are my daughter. And I'm not withholding from you, but I have big things for you. Would you just, ladies, those of you standing, just lift your hands to the Lord right now. Come before Him boldly. And for the next moment or two, would you just talk to Him privately about what it is that you know He has for you? And would you just begin to thank Him for that? Would you just say, Lord, I thank You that You've called me to touch broken people. Lord, I know that You've called me to start this business. Lord, I know that You've called me to use your resources for kingdom purposes. Lord, I know that you have a ministry for me. Lord, I know you have that book, or Lord, I know you have that teaching ministry, or that children's ministry, or that ministry to young people. There's a lot going on inside of the women in this room today. Would you just talk to him just for a moment about what that is, and thank him right now in advance that he's promised this to you. Go ahead and just talk to him. Be bold. Be confident. Speak to your Father, knowing that he's a good Father, that he doesn't withhold, that he wants you to come before his throne boldly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you today that there is an anointing for boldness, for courage, for confidence. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break the fear and the intimidation of culture. And Lord, I break cultural traditions and mindsets off of these women today. Any culture, any tradition that has held them back. Ladies, would you just even put your hand on your forehead right now? Just lay your hand on your forehead. Lord, I ask that you tear down any strongholds in the mind this morning that would cause my sisters to think of themselves as being limited. Lord, that limited by tradition. And Lord, if there's any women in here today who have been told by churches or denominations or religious people or pastors in the past who have told them, no, but simply because you're female, you can't do this, you can't walk in that, you can't really aspire to that. Lord, I break those mindsets in the name of Jesus. And I ask that my sisters would be free today. Free to walk in the Spirit and free to receive your full inheritance, Lord. Lord, as you gave the daughters of Zelophehad their inheritance rights, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would reveal to these women today that they have been called, and Lord, that you have placed an inheritance within them. Lord, it's a mighty anointing that you've placed in them. And Lord, open their eyes to see the fullness of their inheritance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we reach out and we receive that right now. We thank you, Lord. And Father, any woman in here who has struggled because of her parenting, Lord, there's some women in here that grew up in fatherless homes, and Lord, there was a sense of abandonment and even rejection. And I break that off of them in the name of Jesus. There's also a woman in here today that you were told by a female in your life, a person of authority, you were put down and you were made to feel worthless. You were made to feel like you didn't really have a voice and you didn't really have a place. And I break that off of you right now in the name of Jesus. That did not come from the Holy Spirit. That was not from God. There are people in here today. Things were said to you during your formative years that made you feel inferior. And I break those things off of your life right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is just the beginning of the process of what's going to be happening throughout the day. We're just touching on it right now. What God has begun in you, I want you to just let the Holy Spirit have His way. Some of you are feeling a little uncomfortable because it's like the shell cracked a little bit and the light's coming in, and that's not always comfortable for you. But I want to encourage you, just inch on out of that place. Just come on out of the shell. And by the end of the day, I believe that you're going to be in the full light. You're going to be out, and you're going to be free completely to fulfill what God has called you to do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just give the Lord a hand? Would you just thank Him? Thank Him for the freedom. Thank Him for the confidence that He's giving you.